Bless, O Lord, the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Words that you never want to hear a preacher say is that my watch is dying. So I'll be quicker than I usually am. Recently, I've been indulging in a Netflix original show called The Messiah. It debuted, I think, on New Year's Day. It's a fascinating depiction of what would happen if someone rose out of the Middle East who seemed to have supernatural powers surrounding them. It begins in the city of Damascus, where before a crowd, this Messiah, who becomes known as Al-Masih, is preaching to the people on the street who will listen about God is not finished, God is going to work, God is going to do something amazing, as soldiers are surrounding the city, ready to devastate it. And suddenly a sandstorm of biblical proportions comes over the city and thwarts the plans of the oncoming army. Well, throughout the course of events, people become suspicious. The CIA believe he may be a Muslim and quite probably a terrorist threat. Others believe he's sent by God. Throughout the series that I have actually not quite finished, we see him interact with people of all different places, and he eventually gets into the United States. He has such a charisma and seemingly prophetic insight that people are captivated by him, even in one scene where an intelligence agent is sent to assassinate him but cannot do it because, spoiler alert, because he is so captivated by this man. The Messiah series makes several strong allusions to the idea that this is Jesus Christ, perhaps, returned. He seems to be the Jesus that is straight out of John's gospel, which of all the gospels you may know depicts Jesus as the most mysterious. He speaks in riddles. He seems to have this heavenly aura, and he even walks through walls, which the series hints at when Al-Masih inexplicably escapes from a holding cell. As I watch the show, I wonder, how would I react if Jesus returned and was in my midst? The show portrays a variety of responses. There's acceptance and disbelief, skepticism and suspicion, hope and fear. In many ways, the way in which Al-Masih rose up in the Middle East is how John's gospel depicts Jesus rising up. There's no angelic proclamations, no mention of the virgin birth or visit from the Magi. As in the show, Jesus' identity will be constantly questioned and doubted and feared by the religious leaders and government officials, while scores of common people will accept him, believe him, and hope in him. What would happen if Jesus returned today? Would people recognize him? Or would they see what they expect to see? John says throughout the passage that he did not know Jesus. Another way to translate that was he did not recognize Jesus. This distinguishes the idea that John would not be able to spot Jesus in a crowd from the idea that John would understand Jesus' mission. He is told that the moment in which he sees the baptism occur, that is the one. Presumably he's told this by God. It raises the idea that John may have expected to see Jesus fulfill the Jewish prophecy about the Messiah, that being a king who would come to restore Israel by power and might. But what is revealed to John is not that, indeed. He does not say, "Behold," or "Look, the lion who will subdue our enemies," but instead, "the lamb who takes away the sin of the world." The Messiah saves by sacrifice. The Messiah, or Christ, does not take away others' lives, but instead gives away his own. God chooses this way to enter into the world. And I think we still question why. With fires in Australia, with ocean temperatures the highest in recorded history, conflicts in the Middle East, impeachment chaos, why does God choose a lamb and not a lion? Why doesn't God just intervene and right the wrongs we have committed as a people that threaten lives and our very planet? I think, like John, we have a hard time recognizing that Jesus has come and is taking away the sin of the world, when it seems as if death, the wages of sin, is much like a cancer that is more rapidly consuming us and all creation. Why, God? Oh, why?
I think the answer may be found in that image of the lamb. A lamb in Jewish custom that would act as a sacrifice for sin would be slaughtered, its meat consumed. By eating it, it becomes a part of the person, and the animal's flesh becomes integrated with human flesh. The sacrifice for sin is not an outside of a person, it happens within. It transforms from the inside out. And so God imbues in us the life of Christ to animate us in the work of God in this world. This is captured beautifully in a poem by the 16th century Spanish mystic Teresa of Avila, composed by her in the letter sent to her nuns toward the end of her life. It reads, "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which to look out Christ's compassion to the world. Yours are the feet with which he is to do good about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he to bless men now." We have restated and expanded upon this in our church's mission statement, called by God to be the heart, voice, hands, and feet of Christ where the Spirit leads us. And so we believe that. But I think our tendency is to always be looking outside for Jesus, outside for solutions to the world's problems and needs, instead of looking within. For as just as the Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism, so it has descended upon Paige. So it has descended upon us. The disciples who left John to follow Jesus stayed with him, and he remained with them. He claimed them as his own, even renaming one, Simon, whose name initially meant listen, to Cephas, an Aramaic word meaning Peter or rock. Peter begins as one who listens to the promises, the hopes, and becomes one who embodies the promises and the hopes. He is the one who takes Jesus' words, come and see, to mean come and become part of me. And he uses similar words to invite others to experience the life in Christ that he has found for the rest of his life. Baptism is the entrance into the life. We saw Jesus' last week in Matthew's gospel. We saw one done today. In the baptism of infants and children, we are reminded that we are invited along with them to come and see Jesus within and to live his life. They embody the light and life of Jesus, nurtured in a community just like we do. They learn along with us how to be more fully Christ to each other, to animate the life that's become part of ours through sacrifice, through service. So let us not look outside for someone to save us. Our Savior has come. Our Savior has come to abide with us. Let us instead this year look within us at the light that Christ has burning within us. That life that he has imparted to us to shine forth to others. Let us reflect on how this life has impacted ours, and let us share that with others so that they too will want to come and see. So they too will discover the promise and hope for themselves and for this world. So they too will rejoice that God is with them, with all of us, living, working, breathing, restoring us and all creation. We don't need to look to Netflix. We don't need to look anywhere but to the one who's already come. I thank God for this. I thank God for you. I thank God that we get to live the life that Christ shows us, gives us, and lives and moves through us. Alleluia. Amen.